Hello and welcome to the next instalment of Freelance Up North, a series of podcasts running in collaboration with Freelance Folk and Zifferblatt. This is Katie, who is my co-host. Katie is a freelance Squarespace web designer and trainer, plus she's also the founder of Freelance Folk pop-up co-working sessions.
Thank you, Ben. And this is Ben. He is the head of marketing at Zifferblatt, a pay-per-minute sitting room, co-working and event space in Manchester, Media City and Liverpool.
So, Katie, why are we doing these podcasts?
Well, I run the pop-up co-working sessions Freelance Folk, and I know that everybody there has loads of useful tips and information to share, and there's a really nice community of freelancers in the North who can come onto these podcasts and talk about their tips for being freelance with a focus on the North. So from a Freelance Folk perspective, it's a chance to showcase some of the brilliant freelancers that we work with and that come along to our community co-working sessions, but also to help other freelancers or people who are thinking about going freelance.
Sure.
And so Ben, what made you want to get involved with this?
So we are obviously a co-working space, we're a series of co-working spaces across the North. It feels really important for us to support these freelance communities, and from, you know, acting as a place where freelancers dwell each day, we found that, you know, sharing stories, knowledge, tips and tricks was really important. And everyone knows it's easy to screw up when you're freelance, so we'll be looking at the good, the bad and the ugly. So let's hear from our first guest.
So we've got Michelle from Dive Deeper Development, who is a personal development trainer and coach. And Michelle, would you like to tell us a little bit more about what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Katie. So my business is called Dive Deeper Development, and the reason why I called it that is that I've been doing training and coaching for about 14 years now, and I got a bit sick of going to events that make people feel really lovely on the day. You're really buzzing because you've had a great time with coaching or training, but although you feel good, you probably don't do anything differently as a result of it. So for me, my passion is helping people with behavioural change and helping them focus on the things that are really going to help them shift and get results. So I do that in the corporate world for other companies. I do a lot of management development, personal development, but I also do a lot of work with self-employed people and freelancers, more on the coaching front, to help them achieve their goals as well.
And I've actually worked with Michelle as well, so I can testify that she is amazing and has really helped me get clear on my business goals and actually helped me to set targets that I've achieved, which is amazing. I think we're going to ask Michelle a few questions now.
We've got our set Freelance Up North questions. So to kick us off, what events are good for freelancers, Michelle?
Personally, I like co-working events, and really any event that gives people a common activity, if you know what I mean. I think it's really good where you've got something you can do together, because I tried going on meetup.com and looking for events to go to, and a lot of it was swapping business cards or round robin chats, and I just find it a little bit forced. So I quite like anything that has an activity. So for me, co-working is ideal. One, because it's not dead time, you get to actually do some work while you're at it. But I think that chat across, that informal chat across the desk, I think is really important, because you get people in their most natural state. So you can put on a front for a 3 minute speed networking chat, but you can't put on a front for, like, you know, a whole hour or 2-4 hour session. So I think you really get to know people and build genuine connections. So co-working events would be my top events for freelancers, I think.
Fab. And would you say there's any particular networks that are useful to join as a freelancer?
I quite like Freelance Folk, obviously. Yay. We should come to hear it back. Do you know, that was one of the first ones I came to when I don't even know how I found it. We had this debate, didn't we?
Yeah, we can't remember.
Can't remember how I got to
Michelle's been coming she's one of our longest standing attendees as well.
Yeah, and I don't even remember how I found either Zifferblatt or Freelance Folk, but I really enjoyed it. And it's one of the first ones I went to, and it's the one that I've stuck with probably the longest. I really quite like Fresh Walks as well. So some people call that networking, and I find that name a little bit...
I've never heard that before.
They call it networking walking. And what that is a group of people. We go out hiking in the Peak District. It's normally on for like a couple of days each month. And a whole group of people from all around, so Greater Manchester, but also a lot of the walks are sort of between Manchester and Sheffield, or Manchester and Yorkshire. So we get a lot of people from there as well. And we just go out hiking for the whole day. And that's been a really good network for me, I think, because I think for one thing, it's great. It's quite natural networking. So I really quite like that, because when you are hiking with people for maybe 6-7 hours in a day, again, you do get people in their quite natural state. You get people when they're panting going uphill and you do see people under a bit of stress or a bit of pressure, and you really do get a sense of someone or whether they're a team player. And like I say, there's no hiding. You can't really put on a front for that.
And you get to actually know the real person behind that business, which I think is really what relationships are built on, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
I think it's a time element as well. I think as you were saying before, that 3 minute 52 card pickup business networking event where people just want to shove a card in your face isn't sustainable. You're not going to find someone really like that, or at least it's very tenuous and it's definitely a volume game. It's interesting with the Fresh Walk stuff. I've heard, that's not the first time I've heard, you know, they're obviously spanning out to the north because I think people really like them. Like, there's the full day ones where you can take the full day out into the peaks, but they're also doing mini city ones as well now, which are 2 hours or an hour over lunch, because we're actually hosting their lunch after their next Salford one coming up in Zipper Black Media City. So it's what's quite nice, I quite like about that, is if you want something bite-sized but still feels quite organic, as opposed to here's half an hour, throw a business card at me, it feels a bit more genuine and authentic, isn't it?
It's great. And one of the things they promote is to, it's not just the networking element, a lot of it, some people go just for their physical or mental health as well. So if I've been in working from home for quite a few days on the bounce, I get a little bit of cabin fever staying at home, so actually to get outside and to physically move your body, but also to be out in the fresh air and the beautiful countryside as well, that is quite invigorating. And what a lot of people say is, oh, it took me ages to come to this event because I didn't want to give up a whole day. But when they make the time to go, they find them more productive as a result, because they have got out of the house, because they have moved their body, because they have got the fresh air and they've been talking to people. So I think that physical element is really good as well.
Okay. So moving on to social networks, obviously being freelance and on Twitter, one and the same, who are some good people to follow on social media if you're freelance?
I've really struggled with this, because I don't follow anything, obviously, freelance. So I don't follow a great deal of other sort of any specific freelance podcasts or social media accounts. What I do follow, though, is probably just the local ones. So I'm based in Stockport, so I follow things like We Are Stockport or Stockport Old Town. But if not, just like the BBC and anything to do with news, just to keep on top of what's happening. I think for me, more recently, I've probably started to follow other people in my same industry. And I work in training. I used to have an aversion to other trainers, which was really weird, but I tended to avoid them at all costs, because there's a lot of bad or average trainers out there. And I never used to want to follow. I've always found them a little bit soul-destroying or very corporate and very boring. More recently, I've joined an industry-based network group called Trainer Talk, and they're fantastic. And it's mostly other self-employed trainers, which I think is probably why it speaks to me. So I've recently started to connect with them on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, and have some really good conversations going. So it might seem weird to connect with other people in your industry, because would they not be your competitors? But actually, I've learned so much, and it's been really eye-opening, actually, to connect with other people who do what I do.
And I think that's a really interesting point that you make there about the kind of, that is something that I've noticed as well in the people that we meet with Freelance Folk, and just in the freelance community in general. Everyone is quite generous. There isn't as much of a feeling of, I can't interact with you because you're a competitor. And I don't know if that's a northern friendly thing, whether it would be the same if you were in London or elsewhere. But I think I've found the same. You know, there's other people who've been doing websites or Squarespace stuff, and rather than it being, oh, I can't talk to you because you're a potential rival, it's been like, okay, let's see how we can work together. And actually, through developing relationships with people who would be competitors, actually it's worked really well. So, you know, we've mentioned in the last podcast about the guys from Bamboo, Mark and Simon, who are brilliant supporters of Freelance Folk, and they do WordPress websites, I do Squarespace websites. We have a little bit of a kind of website story thing going on, like, can we really be friends? But, you know, we refer work to each other and it works out really well. So I think that's a really nice point.
The work referral thing is just incredible. Like, that's just amazing. And like you say, it's not just following them to spy on them. It's spying the competition, following people for collaboration. And that can be a great source of other work.
I think we all have to be grown-ups sometimes. And it is funny, like, you do see people who are so protectionist, but actually you need peers, and you need to understand that they're probably quite similar to you if they work in a similar industry. And sometimes having, you know, a lot of larger agencies I know within marketing do it, where they go, we can't cover this right now, do you mind dealing with this for me, guys, and vice versa, and they kind of pass back and forth to sort of deal with different capacities have people have at different times, so that you can refer work to one another honestly and openly. So in terms of what's your favourite tool or app to use as a freelancer?
Yeah, I use loads of ones, actually. I use loads of different apps, so it's hard to pick one. Probably one that's not obvious to a lot of freelancers. I use Brain FM, actually, for focus. So that is an app now as well as a website. But one of the things, the biggest challenges I have, as I say, I do need interaction. So when I work from home, I get a little bit stir crazy, and I need that illusion of having other people or being in company. So I've tried watching slow TV, I've tried watching BBC Parliament, anything that I can tune out. But Brain FM, I think, works really well. It's supposed to mimic your brain waves when you're concentrating. They do it for sleep and relaxation as well. But if I'm tired or I haven't slept well or I'm ill and I need to concentrate, I put Brain FM on and choose the concentration one. And you can choose the sound, like you can choose waves, clouds, sounds, rain, whatever, forest, cinematic. But they call them skin orgasms, which is really weird. They say, like, after 10 minutes, you should get goosebumps. And the first time I listened to it, it was like, wow, I can notice it. You know how when you're watching a movie and like the music ramps up the tension and the heart rate? It kind of does that. Cool. So if I've had a bad night's sleep and I need to concentrate, I stick my earphones in, listen to that. I found that brilliant.
And is that the one that plays the background cafe noise as well?
I have used white noise apps. That one, I don't think there's a cafe setting, but you can choose them. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I've heard of that before as well.
Fake cafes don't really work for me. I have an app that does Bangkok cafe, Tokyo cafe, New York cafe. How you know? I don't know. That didn't really work.
And you said you've got a few other apps as well. What other ones would you
recommend? Yeah, I will plug you on, Katie, Cheery Plan. If that's okay.
Yeah.
So so there's one called Cheery Plan, which Katie can probably tell you a bit more about. But I use that, and all it's asking you for each day just to note down your top three priorities. And actually for me, in terms of planning, that's great, because I do have a massive to-do list. I'm pretty good at spreading it out over a week. But if I set that in advance, just waking up each morning, right, what are my top three things today? That does help me focus. And it helps me sleep at night, because, you know, you had all sorts of things whirring around. But if I know what it is I absolutely must do each day, it really helps. So,
thank you. Well, yeah, just to kind of expand on that. So because I don't do enough side projects in my life, I also am working in collaboration with a developer, working on a couple of software and app projects. And one of them is Cheery Plan. And yeah, that came about because I was finding it that each day, like, I would be really unrealistic. And I think this is quite common amongst freelancers as well. Really unrealistic about how much I could actually get done in a day. And I'd have like 20 things on my to-do list. And then at the end of each day, I'd feel really sad that I'd only got to tick maybe like one or two off. And I wasn't being especially focused. And then the more I kind of read up about it, the more that, yeah, if you say kind of what are the three most important tasks to move your business forwards, it's not the admin busy tasks, it's the stuff that's really kind of adding value. Well, that's what I kind of focus on anyway. And you don't need an app to do it, you can just write it down on paper if you want to. You know, I'm a digital person, so I wanted to make an app.
I find that's really helpful, because you can be a busy fool, can't you?
Yeah.
You can do a little of everything.
Yeah, especially
and by the end of the day, and you think, my God, what have I actually done?
Yeah.
But setting yourself little daily goals or daily lists, I think, really helps.
That prioritisation element, I think, that's the thing.
Yeah. Fantastic. And, you know, we've talked about just then kind of, you know, it doesn't always go to plan, some kind of work. So we all make mistakes. Have you had any freelance fails?
I haven't had any massive, like, egg on your face moments. I think I've had some really frustrating moments. And I think for me, it's as a freelancer, maybe pursuing work with certain companies or people. And I've sunk a lot of time in it. And like, you just get those warning signs, like, that just isn't for me. So recently I did an interview for a company and I should have just backed out of it a lot sooner. The work wasn't really suited to me. I think they wanted to get bums on seats in the interview process, but I did spend like maybe half a day, which is an opportunity cost. And the work wasn't for me, the company wasn't me, the whole process wasn't right. And I did, I think I said to you, I I probably should just sack this off, and I didn't. And I think just a look back where maybe the company don't pay as much, but it's not just the pay, it's the way they treat people. Mm. And you just think they don't really value what you do. They treat you like a number. And I think I've got better now at backing away from stuff like that. And you think, oh, it'd be good because it's money, because it's work. But actually, you every second you're doing that, you're losing time that you could have spent pursuing something that you really want. So that's the main thing where I kick myself over that, yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that's been really great working with you, doing some coaching, business coaching, is actually you mentioned value. And I think getting really clear on your values as a freelancer is so helpful. And, you know, you might have this kind of feeling in your gut that something isn't right. And normally, like, you know, you and I have talked about that's often to do with your values, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Just other things as well, like people say, oh, I can't believe they're making me jump through these hoops. I've got this great CV. I've got all this experience in my field. Why are they making me prove it all over again? I'm the other way around. If a company makes me jump through hoops to go and work with them and they create this massive process, not paperwork, but they really make you prove yourself, I generally want to work with them more because I know they value what we do. I know that they have standards and I know they've put a lot of care and thought into that onboarding process. If a company just gives you an interview and goes, right, yeah, that's great, you're on board, I've generally found they don't treat you very well. And again, that comes through in the value in terms of money, but also the way that you are appreciated. So absolutely, you've got to know your standards and your values.
And yeah, knowing your values and knowing your value, because I know you did a really good session at our Freelance Folk Afternoon as part of another freelance event last year, and it was about actually knowing and understanding your value.
And how to stick to it when it's challenged as well, which is really important.
And we had some chats fairly recently. There was International Women's Day in March, and that was something that came up a lot within female freelancers, was around women freelancers particularly, generalising, but particularly, weren't kind of really going for their value as much as male freelancers were, so they weren't charging as much and they weren't really working out, okay, this is how much I need to charge, or they're more likely to discount because they could empathise with their clients and kind of go, oh, well, actually, yeah, okay, I'll just take a bit less because I can see that you've not got much money. So I think actually understanding that is really important. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
Definitely.
So what are some good places to get support if you freelance? So this is a little bit beyond networks. We're talking about business support services or maybe organisations that you found particularly helpful.
I know it is kind of a network, but it is actually a business as well. So I joined an industry one, Trainer Talk. Mm. That's not just a network. They have an alert service for work. If you pay for that, you sign up to that. They also do face-to-face days, but also run training sessions, and I've signed up for programs too. So for me, that is a hub in my industry, doing different products. I think that one really worked for me, partly because they know exactly what I'm doing and they're able to help with that. But there isn't anything I could think of that other people in that group or the lady who runs it hasn't been through before. Mm. So if any problem, like what do I charge? Do I need to draw up a contract? How would you go about doing this exercise? Creative stuff, whether it's business, technical, legal, financial, there are products within that. Sharon Gaston is the lady who does it. It's called Trainer Talk, and her business, she has all the different products, all the different contacts, and that is where I find it. I also get personal development from there, so there's interviews, there's webinars, and that helps me keep on top of things in terms of the industry, but also my skills as a trainer and in terms of marketing a business as well. My big takeaway from that is I think you have to pay to get the best support. So I tried doing the Google Garage stuff, which was kind of helpful. I went to the library, I went to the business hub, I went to the support offered by my bank, and they're okay, but for me they're not really a good fit. So my big lesson is if you want good support or a good network or a good organisation, generally the stuff that you pay for is miles better than any sort of thing out there that's free. People might not want to hear that, but I honestly
believe it. Yeah. Fair play. Yeah.
And it sounds like you've managed to find one that is quite specific, and I guess the more specific and tailored to you, the better. Like, that's more useful for you, but of course it takes the time and energy to put that resource together. And again, I think if we're supporting other people in the freelance community, then there's a whole kind of no free work movement within the freelance community of let's not just try and make people freelancers do things for free or for exposure in inverted commas. So I think that's what I always try and make sure that if I'm working with another freelancer, we're either paying, I'm paying them, or if it's a collaboration, we're really clear on the kind of tangible stuff that we're getting out of this partnership, rather than it just being a kind of, oh, I'll help you out, and then maybe sometime down the line you'll help me out, that kind of thing. So I think actually, yeah, sometimes where it's a bit of an investment in your business, and that is important.
I think if you pay the money, I think there's a question of investment of money, investment of time, and these things take time and money to create that support. And I think when people, when you pay for it, then what you get is the quality of that. Someone has put the time and the money into it, therefore what you get is good back out the other way. Mm. I think that's the thing. And so that's what I'd say. So for me, that it was an industry specific one that I went to.
And who would you say, obviously apart from me and Ben, are your favourite folk that you would recommend to follow or to kind of look up if you're a freelancer? Who's a really good person to check out on social media, or just that you've met in general that you think you want to give a bit of a shout out to?
Obviously, all the regulars at the Freelance Folk are fantastic. I'll pick another one. We haven't seen him at Freelance Folk for a while, but I think Paddy McGrath is great.
Oh, yes. So Super Logo Boy.
Super Logo Boy. He did my logo. The way he did the consultancy, and that was great. He really got my business, and I really loved his design. But he's quite active on LinkedIn and I think Snapchat, but he does a newsletter as well. And obviously his thing is marketing with the logos, but I always get real value from his newsletters. And the thing he's doing at the moment is he's writing an ebook, he says, and in his newsletters he actually shares his secrets, if you like. So again, none of that guarded stuff, let's keep it all behind closed doors and I'll just give you the tidbits. It is like literally he's just completely open with his
process of how he actually goes to create a logo and designs and everything.
So worth following, I think.
And he's somebody that is very kind of, I hate to use this word, authentic, but you know he's very clear on what his brand is, and he's quite happy to swear about stuff, and he talks about his private life a little bit as well, and he's very very much kind of what you get in his newsletter is exactly like when you meet him in person.
Absolutely.
Really consistent, and he's very much his own brand and channeling that, which is great,
and it's been really really good for him as well. So learn a lot from Paddy.
So now the most important question, freelance food. What's your favourite new cafe or restaurant in the north?
It's not new, but I really like Bundabust. Every time I come into Manchester, I keep going back. They have one in Leeds. I think there's a few dotted all over the country as well. So Bundabust is great. So I think it's all vegetarian, but it's Indian street food. But I absolutely love it. They have a great beer and ale selection as well. So pretty much whenever me and my wife come into the city, that's pretty much where we head.
Excellent.
Any excuse?
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us in the conversation. If you want to find out more, use the hashtag freelanceupnorth, or you can follow Ben and his team at Zifferblatt Edge Street. That's Edge ST at the end. You can follow my pop-up co-working community at Freelance Folk, and you can find Michelle at Dive Deep Dev. So that's Dive Deep Development, but shortened for Twitter. So it's Dive Deep DEVP at the end. Thank you very much for joining us for another Freelance Up North.